Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
Josh. Good guy. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown played for the Patriots.
In case you weren't aware.
Yeah, he was over there. he kicked it around Foxborough a little bit.
Had a little success.
Yeah.
Maybe even he was at the point where he was so close to Robert Kraft that he was offered a nice grilled hot dog slice.
Maybe a lemonade.
Maybe a lemonade, as he's been quoted as saying. But we are glad you're here in studio. We finally got you.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, man. Must have put in some good words for me. So
that's right. All right. So how close are you with Bob Kraft?
I'm not extremely close with him. I mean, when I see him, you know, we conversate somewhat. But, yeah, I don't come around a whole lot, you know?
Right.
So I kind of keep my distance. That's just kind of how I am, so.
Okay, yeah. So he never, because sometimes he gets, like, a little loose, and he's like, he gives this guy lemonade, and he goes, you know, this is a nice hot dog sliced. He never had a nickname for you or would give you anything that you wanted besides money?
No, but I was expecting a car or something when I retired. You know, kind of like Ben Coates. Ben Coates, I think he got a car. Bruce Armstrong, like, got a car.
Really?
I think Tippett got a car.
Like from the crash?
Tippett got a car and a job.
That's right.
So he got the insurance and the tax implication.
Yeah. So the Crafts gave them a car. Is that?
Yeah, I know. I think Bruce Armstrong got a car for sure, and I think Tippett got a car.
Okay,
you know,
but, and you didn't get one.
Actually, I don't think Tippett did get a car because he retired just before Kraft bought the team. I think it was Bruce Armstrong that got the car.
Okay.
But he never wants to come back here because he can't get a room at the Ritz-Carlton. So, I think he thinks Foxborough still has the best hotel was the End Zone Motor Inn. So he doesn't want to come back.
Yeah,
so
it was kind of a wasteland at the time. Is what you're saying it was not exactly the place to be.
So you're sitting there after the whole ceremony, and you know everyone's like shaking hands and hugging, and you're kind of waiting around like, when am I getting the keys, man?
This is a nice jacket. But,
the jacket's real nice.
They got the red jacket, but yeah.
But you know when they give you a car, it's going to be a piece of crap that you don't want, and then you're going to have to pay the insurance on it. You'll be like, thanks a lot for the financial
problems. Well, the Crafts are known for giving pieces of crap cars. I would think it would
have
been
nice. They didn't
give them anything. Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, there's people, I hear all those stories about the people on the prizes, right, when they win all those cars and stuff. They win that the last deal.
Yes, right.
Yeah. They bid the closest or whatever, and they win all that stuff, $30,000 worth of stuff, and then they get the tax bill.
Yeah.
Then they got to sell the car to pay the taxes or something, so it's kind of crazy.
It's like the Price is Right. See, people win all this stuff, and they're like, that will be $10,000. Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
So what did you make of this week? We haven't talked to you, obviously, since the season has started. There was a lot of people freaking out about the receivers. And what did you see out there? And is there any cause for concern after what you saw on Sunday?
Well, I think they had a right to freak out about the receivers because when you looked at the list and you saw the guys that they had in training camp, and basically I think two of those guys practiced one day between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they're on the shelf with hamstrings, and then you look down the list and you see Riley McCarron, and you see some other guy that no longer exists here either, and you see Philip Dorsett that caught basically, what, 9 balls during the regular season last year, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you had a kind of right to be somewhat cautious about the season when it came down to the receivers. And then everybody's all so excited about, well, the backs are going to be able to take up some of that slack and do this and that. Well, Burkhead was hurt the whole offseason, I mean, the whole camp. Sony Michel was hurt basically all of camp.
Yep.
Then they cut Brandon Bolden. And then you're sitting there looking at James White. Kind of like this week coming up, it's going to be the same thing. Burkhead's got concussion this week, but
yeah.
You think the running backs are going to take up a lot of the slack, and you think Jacob Hollister may be able to come in and take up some of the slack at tight end, and you're starting the season basically with James White and then Burkhead, you know, coming in off of injury too. So it's kind of like, yeah, what's going to happen with these guys? But, you know, they came out and did a great job. Tom, obviously, he and Josh always put together a great plan and put those guys in position to make plays. And, you know, Dorsett went 7 for 7.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
right.
You wouldn't have thought it, but he did. So hopefully it's a confidence booster for him.
So everyone always talks about whenever there's a discussion about bringing in a receiver during the season that it's really tough to get this system in mid season.
Impossible is a good word.
And the success rate of people who've been brought in mid season has been pretty low. It's been pretty well documented. So
Rishay Caldwell was
Gabriel.
He didn't last.
No.
So how tough is it? I mean, you know, can you kind of do you believe that maybe it's just the people that they brought in, or is it indeed the system being so complicated that no matter what, someone will
And I think at this point now you got to realize, too, that Tom Brady has 19 years of stuff in that head up there.
Yeah.
You know, and it constantly changes. It's changed since I've been there, which was basically 11 years ago now. But, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in his head that he can put together, and they can change the style of the way they want to play in the middle of a series, in the middle of a drive. And that's what makes him so hard and so tough to stop, because he has the ability to do that. So you need guys on the field that can adapt mm-hmm. and adjust the way that he can. So right. And it's hard for some of those guys to catch up and be able to compartmentalize so many different things.
Okay, so Dez Bryant is everyone's talking about.
Yeah. Including Dez Bryant.
Yes, Dez Bryant.
Guy would shut up about coming here.
Everybody wants to come here.
Yeah.
You know, but then when they get here, it's like,
this sucks.
They can't stand Bill, you know, where Bill doesn't talk to me. He's too hard on me. So what do you want? You want to not talk to you? You want to be hard on you? Is the reason why they have a lot of success here? I mean, you have your times where you can't stand Bill, but, you know, you set it aside and you go to work, man.
Okay, so that's a problem with guys. That's really a problem with guys coming in, and that they'll say, like, this really does suck. Like, this is so much different than the environments I played in before. Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me. Is that something that really goes on?
Yeah. I mean, Tom's at a point now where he's got to have trust in you. Like, especially when you play that slot position, you have so many decisions to make. And he depends on you sometimes to be his eyes in certain places where he can't see. You know, you're running those option routes, and he's not looking to the backside or where if he's looking to his left. And you want to break right, then you got to make a good decision, because if you don't, he'll let you know. So, because it goes on his stat sheet, you know. I mean, an interception or, you know, something that came close to a pick or something. But, you know, so he depends on you to make good decisions in those situations. And there's so many route combinations that they have with this team, so many formations and personnel groups that you have to have when you go in there. I mean, each personnel group can change the position that you play.
Yeah.
So you got to know every single position, X, Y, Z, F, H. You got to know all of them. And
you ever see a guy come in and just go, this guy's too dumb to figure this out? Like, you knew immediately. Ainsworth. There's no way.
I hate talking bad about guys, but I'm not going to call any names.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some guys.
I've had some guys.
I didn't know Joey like that. I wasn't on the team.
Yeah, so I understand.
I wasn't on the team. It's all right.
But
I mean, I guess was it Tom that made the comment or something? Is it that hard? Something when he was?
Yep.
When he
was Joey, no, Joey, he gave him a stare after he and messed up a route.
Is it that freaking hard or something?
So, yeah, that's right.
Well, and but no, they were guys that I knew that had drawn up plays. You know, and they drew an 8-man team up. So
how would he treat, like, if
wait. Explain that.
Now, I guess they would work in Nebraska somewhere, I guess.
So you guys were asked sometimes were you ever asked to, all right, can you do this on the board? Can you show us what happens?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And then draw up something that you did, one of your plays in college, and
And then they couldn't count to 11.
Well, it was basically you drew up an 8-man offense.
What did the room do?
Huh?
What did the room do when they did that?
It was, you know, get hilarious sometimes. But these are the situations that kind of took place where, you know, I was told some things that certain guy did certain things when they asked him to do stuff. But there would be answers too you would get sometimes.
Yeah.
That would have the room cracking up.
Okay, well, best answer.
But
in the room.
You know, and Bill would have a time with certain guys, and not that he was trying to call guys. It was just getting guys to think a little bit more when they're, you know, Willie, if I put you at Z and I said, run Z comeback, what would you run? Willie, I said, I would run a comeback. No, that would be Bill's response, basically, like, we call Z comeback for a reason, for the Z to run a comeback. So what the heck are you doing, sir? But it would have some fun in there sometimes.
He loved those quizzes, didn't he, Bill Belichick?
Oh, God. You had to be ready all the time. He got me a few times, stuff like special team stuff, where I didn't know how big, basically, what was his name, Matt Turk, I believe it was, the punter. He punted for the Dolphins for a while. Uh-huh. And he made it seem like that was the worst thing in the world, that I didn't know that he was 6'3". He was a big dude,
yeah.
You know, and he was 6'3". I knew he punted with his right foot or whatever, and I knew he had a pretty good hang time, but I didn't know how big he was. Yeah, he went down there, you know, get your
ass. Oh, you insult his knowledge of punters? Bill Belichick,
that's
right.
He's
obsessed with punters.
Actually, he hit me pretty hard one time, too.
Oh, did he really?
I guess that was pretty important.
But. Okay, so he wanted you to know the size, so, like, listen. Yeah. This guy has a chance to take you on, and he could.
I guess, you know. Right. But he was, yeah.
Or he was just
stuff beat. Like that. He was. I mean, he would find something to grill you about.
All right. Well, listen, it's great. We have Troy Brown in studio for the rest of the hour. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back. .985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We are fortunate enough to have Troy Brown in studio. He'll be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour after every Patriots game. Oh, Jesus, Eckersley, you've just gone full Hatcher.
I mean, that is like super feathered.
He's just like, I'm letting it fly in the back. Don't let me down. All right, so Troy, we were talking about, if I may call you Troy, if we were talking about difficulties, you know, coming in as a receiver, and you know how they're short at receiver right now. We didn't really get to your answer, but Dez Bryant has been basically pleading, because there's nothing that gets more attention for a team. He has been tweeting about us. I think that we pulled the trigger on that thing.
Well, it got him a meeting with Cleveland, but Cleveland's not New England.
Well, and also he's not there, but nonetheless, tweeting, I don't think he's going to get you a meeting somewhere, but nonetheless, would he fit here?
I've said he shouldn't come here,
right?
For the Patriots' sake and for his own sake, you know, just like every other player that's come here that within his position, a big, well-known receiver like he is, they come here to die, you know, and his career would be basically over.
And now
that's just my opinion. I don't think he would play anyplace else.
Okay, because he's not as fast as he used to be.
And he's never been a burner. I think he was like a high 4.4 guy, 4.5 when he came out of was Oklahoma State, I think. He's never been like a burner. So he's just been he was an athletic guy that could go up and catch the ball all over people and use his ability that way.
And he was never a precise route runner. So there's really nothing that would fit here. He can't go over the top, and he probably won't be able to figure things out, it seems, that you're saying. And also, even if he could figure some things out, he's not a precise route runner. So it doesn't sound like a match made in heaven.
No, it wouldn't be. And he would be miserable even if he could. I mean, if he didn't figure things out, but if he wasn't making plays. Tom Brady's got a way of kind of ignoring guys when they're on the field,
yeah,
you know, and he wouldn't see a pass. I mean, it would get if he would get frustrated, and he would throw every pass he could to Rob Gronkowski,
right?
Sure,
you know, if it got to that point.
Which
might happen this weekend. So.
Which it's true. So you were in the circle of trust with Tom Brady, obviously. First of all, was there a moment that you knew that, all right, Tom, officially, I'm there. I'm one of the guys.
Was there a building like downtown that no one knew about? Or were there secret Tom Brady meetings?
Right, where you bopped each other over the head with those foam bats and, you know, chanted in the darkness.
Like the skulls at Harvard.
Right.
Or at Yale.
Just when I knew Tom.
Yeah, well, no, when you knew that you were officially trusted by Tom Brady.
I felt like it was, you know, because I was kind of, I wouldn't say established, but I'd been with Drew. In 2000, and playing with Drew through the 2000 season, and mm-hmm. So it was kind of established that I was the number two guy behind Terry Glenn mm-hmm. for the most part. So, and I think he just saw the way I ran routes. So, and he got an opportunity to work with us as a starter too as well. So, when they take Drew out and rest him or whatever, so he was pretty familiar with me. So, I don't think I had to earn too much of his trust. And he kind of knew I played hard. I tried hard all the time. So
yeah.
And he was that guy. He was in, and he would try to beat me in the morning sometimes to get a workout in. So he was. We had kind of had the same mentality when it came to getting ready for games.
Okay, so let's get to that, because you knew him when he was,
I was
the kid with the pizza box telling Robert Kraft, this is the best decision you'll ever make. You know, and when he was kind of, you know, that doughy kid who you read about and seemed... It seemed almost a 180 from what he is now. Now he's like Captain Slick wearing the magician's outfits to the Met Gala. But back then, he wasn't anything like that, right?
Didn't
he like
fight? He had some old yellow Jeep that he had that he drove, and it was, you know, wasn't anything. I mean, I guess it's a pretty cool car if you're a college kid, you know. But, you know, that, he drove that, and he came in, and the kid, he was always working and doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But... And when I saw him, he was this pretty unassuming man. Like, this guy is he's a quarterback. You know, I mean, it wasn't anything amazing about him.
Yeah, right.
You know, when you looked at him, but besides the fact that he worked hard, and then there'll be a few things that he would do on the field. Like, he would meet a guy halfway down the field, not to get on him, but to talk to him and see what he was thinking on this particular route. What'd you see? You know, that kind of stuff that he would do. So. No, kind of caught the eye of a couple of guys. So
I heard the early days are the stories about him going out and out drinking everyone. It was the chug contest. Is it?
I don't know. I'm not a big drinker, so I don't know about that part of it. Right. But you know,
well, that's got to change immediately. Yeah. Bring in the whiskey.
That's right. but it is strange how it looks like he's kind of gone through the cool guy car wash over these years after being with Giselle. He's like almost like when you see the difference, does it shock you that this is the same guy that you played with her in the early days?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really. Cause he was not that he's changed a whole lot. Obviously his wardrobe has changed and everything like that has changed. And probably the way he approaches things because he has a family now and all those things. So, but
if back in the day, the group that you guys were with saw a picture of him wearing that magician's outfit to the Met Gala, that would be something you guys would have to discuss.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the pictures of him with that goat and all that stuff. And
yeah, you got the best pictures.
The Stetson commercial when he was howling in the wind. And, he'd get it for all that now.
By the way, Tom Brady endorsed Stetson. Like, think about that now. Like, when you associate...
That's no Eddie Murphy stuff, brute.
Yeah.
My friend was
saying. He's just doing...
That's supposed to mean something? By Fabergé.
That's right, brute by Fabergé. Not brute by Kmart. This is by Fabergé. That sounds very, very fancy.
Right.
I have to tell you that.
Who busted his balls the most when the goat picture came out?
Like, oh.
The lineman, right? The
defensive guys always were on it, man. It was like, they would hammer him. Vrabel, Willie, all those guys would hammer him, man. Ty, you know, but, you know, lineman guys would get on him about stuff. You know, but, yeah.
How do you take it?
He was cool, man. He got a great sense of humor. He was cool about it. Yeah. That stuff. I mean, that's just locker room stuff, man. And you see that kind of stuff come out on the cover of a magazine. Guy holding the goat.
That's right. There was a story that every offensive lineman Xeroxed the picture and put it on the back of the uniform so he would see it.
Now,
when he came to the line, all five of them.
Now, why do they have... No one in the room is going to know, so I'm just asking it. Why is he holding goats?
Yeah, you got to ask GQ that.
I don't know, man.
I guess he's the goat. And
not at the time.
No.
So
I guess they figured he was on his way.
Yeah. They're like Nostradamus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so there is talk now, and we heard it during the Tom versus Time thing with, you know, Tom saying that he hasn't enjoyed the last several years. You saw the paltry bump that he got. It was, you know, almost... I don't want to say it was an insult.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. For someone like Tom Brady, who was the MVP last year, it seems like it was an insult to have an incentive-based type of quote-unquote bump that he got from the team. And then you hear him saying he wants to play for another 5 years. Do you see him finishing his career as a Patriot?
I do, but this is the NFL, and this is the Patriots, and this is Bill Belichick coaching the team. So I've seen crazier things happen, But I couldn't imagine, as a former player and knowing Tom Brady, and I couldn't imagine him finishing any other place. So I think as long as Robert Kraft's owns the team, I think he would override anything else as far as Tom going to finish his career some other place. So, but at the end of the day, Tom has the final say in that, and he could take whatever deal he wanted to take from whoever. Once he's up in 19, next year's his last year.
Yeah.
So. He's got, what, 4 more years till he's 45?
Yeah, he wants to play 3 years after his contract would be done here.
So, I just couldn't see Robert Kraft letting him walk away and going to play and ending his career in some other uniform.
Then why not give him more money? Then why not now? Why the incentive-based bump?
That's Bill Belichick. So, I mean,
so there will be like, there'll be a lot of, what you're saying is, and we probably all could figure it out, is that if there was a situation after next season that, you know, it didn't make sense to maybe extend Brady to a certain number, that Belichick and Kraft would bump heads and would be ultimately who wanted them the most.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would, who wanted them the most would be, I mean, it would come down to Kraft, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Just saying, this is what I want. And then I guess Bill would kind of make that happen, kind of like they said it happened with Garoppolo.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, if that's all those rumors were true, it's Kraft's team.
Right.
You know, I'm basically the manager of the team, and this is what you want. I figured out the best way to get that done.
Could that be the thing that drives away Belichick?
I mean, it could be. It's drove away other coaches in the past. From not just from this team, but the same one you see a lot of times. You see head coaches that leave. It's because that, you know, I feel they feel like their toes are being stepped on too much. Then they, you know, go look for another job some other place where they could have a little more control.
All right, we got Troy Brown in studio, 617-779-0985. We'll continue the discussion. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Listen to 98.5 The Sports Hub, that app. 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and take us everywhere you go. Also listen at home or in your office on the smart speaker. Just say play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Troy Brown in studio, and he'll be joining us after every Patriots game, no matter how long it takes him to get here. But he's now signed a contract.
How was that commute in this morning?
For, man. Maybe I should ask for some pay for fight through that traffic.
Yeah, you should. You should ask.
That's some tiring stuff, man.
Well, it's fun. Lord. All right, so believe me, I enjoy it just as much as you. All right, Jalen Ramsey, who I thought was fantastic that he was talking about that about everyone. I loved it. I wish more players did it. But, you know, he's made his comments about Rob Gronkowski. And I ask a lot of players this. Does that kind of stuff matter? Because if you're Gronkowski, I would imagine that you're trying hard most of the time. Knowing that someone on the other team has talked crap about you, does that... is it an incentive to try harder, or does it
I don't think it's to try harder, but you definitely want to go out there and, you know, just show him what's up. And then you got a player like Rob. I watched that tape with Rob, man, in the game on Sunday. He's incredible.
Yeah,
he looked great. Okay, you guys didn't know that.
I've heard he's a fine player.
So, I mean, just watching him, they were actually that catch that really wasn't a catch,
yeah.
You know, but
yeah.
That counted as a catch. I mean, they beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And it was two guys on it. I mean, and Tom just threw it in there, and he just, you know, figured out a way to come down with the ball. I mean, to come that close to it being a catch that really was a catch, I just don't really know what you can do to cover the guy. So, you know, thinking about what Jalen Ramsey had to say about Gronk, I mean, I don't understand what tape he's been watching, who he's been talking to, or – if he was trying to do some pre-stuff to get in his head, you know,
yeah.
A month before the game comes up. But I don't know. But Rob's always been, you know, cool about that kind of stuff, man. He just he goes out there and he just plays like he plays, man. And, you know, but to answer your question, I just think, you know, when guys do talk like that, yeah, you just most of the time you just kind of be quiet and you go out there and you lay one on them. And
yeah.
Then you just, after the game, you kind of be quiet and you kind of just give him a little smirk.
Yeah.
So, and just let him know.
How tough is it not to lose your cool? Because we've seen that happen before, too, where players get, you know, there's trash talked about. Heck, I mean, you could talk about, didn't that happen with Rob Gronkowski last year? Yeah. The Buffalo game. How do you keep your head in check if you're a guy and you're getting trash talked to you? Because even the best of them, as you said, Rob Gronkowski, I mean, that happened to him last year.
Rob was more of the fact that he was getting held so much.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the trash talk that got to him. He was just getting held so much that he decided to
take a guy's head off.
Drop a soup bone on somebody.
Right, the people's elbow. Yeah.
I'm cool with it, man. I don't mind guys talking a lot of crap. It's just when they start taking cheap shots on people.
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of lose your cool. You know, that probably happened to me in the Tennessee game in 06 when they went low on Rodney.
Then
they were, you know, taking cheap shots, so trying to push me over the pile, and I got an unsportsmanlike conduct for you know, power slamming a guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, those type, it's hard, man, because it's like, dude, we're in the same business.
Yeah.
We're in the same business. I'm trying to make a living. You're trying to make a living. Let's play hard between the whistle.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not trying to hurt you out here, you know? I mean, but you get guys that try to do that kind of stuff, and it's like, what the hell are you thinking, man? And they don't, and I guess they don't. They're just trying to show that they're a tough guy or something. But, you know, we're in the same business, man. It's hard enough staying healthy in this game as it is, especially back in those days.
Yeah, cool. So talk a little bit about that. When you see the way the game's evolved and how much they're trying to protect everyone and all that stuff, how much different was it back in the day? Do you look at these guys and you're like, you have no idea?
I remember when they first kind of changed things up and that went to practice one day, and Bill was like, you could play 20 years in this league now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I look at it now, and then now I guess he's even changed up now, because now they have these days where they have recovery days.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
a lot of days off.
What you gonna have
in July?
Recovery. Like, we had like 12 or 13 days in a row of 2 days before we played our first preseason game. You know, he made us go back to the locker room because we protested. So he said, come out and show the pads and the helmet. It was the day before a preseason game.
Okay, well let's get to that, because that's something that's kind of been in the news too, is Matt Patricia. So he goes over to the Lions, and now you're hearing, and you heard it throughout the preseason, apparently there were rumblings that the players did not like the way Patricia worked these guys. Like, matter of fact, one of the veterans was quoted as saying, we're going to be absolutely gassed by game one. There's no way we're going to be able to, he's being too rough on us. What do you make of that? Like, is there, coming from Bill Belichick and what he did, and maybe trying to apply that to people who aren't used to that, couldn't you see how that might possibly backfire?
Yeah, it can. Because if you don't win at a certain point, then you lose all the guys.
Yeah.
You know, and let's go back to 2000 with Belichick when he came here. And then you start 2001 out, and then, you know, we lose our first two games, and they were talking about firing him. So you get yourself in that situation. But I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to set a culture for the team that they never had before. You know, Caldwell, you know, think about whatever you think about him as a coach. You know, it was probably a situation where guys just kind of got to do whatever they wanted to do and not practice hard, and then that translated into not playing hard in the game. So I think he was just trying to set a culture where, like, I want smart, tough guys. You know, you got to go through a few tough practices. You know, I want to see if you're mentally tough to get through these practices, and then you can transfer that to the game. So it's probably all kind of little things he's trying to get out of them. And, you know, like I said, with guys, you got a lot of guys that come from another coach.
Yeah.
That aren't used to working that hard. It's tough. Well, especially when you can't get the results that you want to get, you know. And maybe he might just be trying to, like, hey, you know, we're going to lose this year, and we're going to find out who the tough guys are, and then we can start weeding them out from here.
Well, that's a great idea when you got a franchise quarterback who's 30.
He's a franchise quarterback in whose eyes?
In Bunny's eyes. In Uncle Sam's eyes.
Cash's eyes.
Yeah, under tax bracket, he is.
But you live that firsthand. You were talking about, I can't think of how jarring that must have been to go from Pete Carroll to Bill Belichick. Like, what was that like? What was the transition?
It wasn't as bad, because I went from Parcells to Pete Carroll.
Okay.
I was in those days. So Pete was like, he was more frustrated because he was so caught up and enamored with the star players, you know, that he didn't even pay me any mind. So it was like, until I messed up or something. he was actually too soft on the guys, I thought. His biggest flaw was the team actually got younger from the year before, and you brought in all these guys. We had guys coming in. I think we were in Minnesota somewhere. Guys going in the mall, coming in to meetings, coming to the special teams meeting at 7 o'clock with shopping bags, and it's like, dude, like, and he just said, I'm so disappointed in this guy because, you know, I expected more out of him, and I'm like, dude, it's your team. You know, go get him a plane ticket and send him home.
Yeah, do something about it.
So we play with the guys that we have. So, and
was he more of a cheerleader? He was a cheerleader coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a player's coach, that's for sure.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, and I guess I'm not saying one way is the right way to do it, the only way to do it, but, you know, obviously he figured some things out.
Yeah.
You know, went to USC and won, and came back to Seattle and figured out how to win there too. So, but it was just something a lot different than what I was used to playing, coming in for Parcells, playing with him, and then leaving him, and then going to Belichick.
Yeah.
And doing it that way as well. So So yeah, he was a lot different than what I was used to. But you know, he got his way from 49ers way when they all those guys were back to he and Mike Hungren and all those guys and Mariucci and all those guys back in the day. And it worked for Bill Walsh, so that had to be done the same way all the time.
What was your first impression of Belichick as a head coach?
As a head coach?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought he was pretty smart and pretty headsy and putting the team together. We went through all our ceremonies where we had to bury footballs and stuff and put those games behind us, all, you know, just because we weren't winning, man. So what did we go that first year? Was it 4-11?
Was it 4-5 games?
Was it 5-11.
5-11. So we had to bury a few footballs, you know, and we kind of hit a little winning streak there at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And we got things together and tried to carry it over to the next year. But Bill was always pretty sharp, you know, and detailed, you know, kind of bringing back to the Parcells days. He was over the top of what Parcells was as far as being prepared for everything. So but he made sure we had all of our stuff and all our game tape and – we knew what to do. Yeah. We knew what to do. We just couldn't outperform another team.
You know, was he even back then? You know, he has a reputation for, you know, never leaving the facility. You know, always there watching film. He's on the treadmill watching film. Was he one of those from day one? Was he that guy?
Yeah, because I mean, I guess cause you couldn't really see him in the office, so you would guess he was in there. You know, but guys would be like, you know, well, cut out of here early or something. You know, but you had to walk by that office all the time. Like, you know.
You got to crawl.
Is Bear's going to tell on me?
Did you ever see Ernie Adams once while you were with the team?
Oh, I see Ernie. You see him all the time. He's on the field all the time. He's in, you know, he was in there on the treadmill and stuff.
He's a very mysterious man, Ernie Adams. Yeah.
Working out in his plaid shorts? No, he wasn't working out in plaid.
He's working out in a sweater and dress shoes?
No, I talked to Ernie more after I retired than I did the whole time he was there. He was like, hey, Ernie. You know, and that's about it. But you see, he was around. He was always on the field.
Yeah, I just
looking at his card or
standing
scribbling
there,
something down or standing there.
Like judging with
observing everybody. Yeah. Like, uh-oh.
That's right.
You see him shake his head like this. It's like, ooh. I did something wrong on that one. Right. You want to know where you stand doing practice? Take a look at Ernie over there.
Yes,
I'm getting cut tomorrow.
Yeah. That expressionless face tells you all you need to know.
Oh.
All right, so we'll be back. One more segment with Troy Brown, 617-779-0985.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio, as he will be after every game, that this is a special day today. Troy, the Patriots schedule is kind of weird coming up in that they have short weeks. I understand that there wasn't Thursday Night Football at the time. I don't believe. When you played at the end, was there Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, I think you might have played in that first Thursday night game when we played Pittsburgh in 2002.
Okay.
Wow.
For the home opener.
I didn't realize that horrible idea has been around for so long.
Yeah.
So how tough is that? You want to get it, I would imagine, earlier in the season, but how tough is that for a team?
Yeah, I mean, for that week, obviously opening week is not bad at all because then you get a long week afterwards to start the season out.
Right.
But, yeah, in the middle of the season, man, that Thursday night games were just the worst because, you know, even if you're a young player, definitely if you're an older player, you really didn't start to feel good until Thursday. So,
right, yeah.
You know, after a game. And now you got to turn around and play on a Thursday. And you have a Sunday game. You can't really take Monday off. You got to come in and do a little something and start getting the game plan in for the week. Tuesday is kind of more of the only day you have a chance to kind of do something with some kind of tempo to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Wednesday, obviously, it's another walkthrough. Our travel day if you got to travel.
Right.
So it's extremely hard, extremely tough. So it's only so many things you can put in to the game plan, you know, to try to take advantage of what the defense does. But, you know, because a lot of stuff you're going to try to put in, you didn't time it out because you didn't have time to do it.
They shouldn't have that. They shouldn't have Thursday night football.
They, you know, if they thought about the players, they shouldn't have Thursday night. I guess it's good for them money wise, but
That's the thing is that it's not good for your product if a bunch of your stars are hurt, and if there's a likelihood, more of a likelihood of someone getting hurt in the Thursday night game, or the quality of the game is going to suck?
The quality of the game, as you've seen, you know, the first week of the season, you know, quality of football is not, you know, great.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, but, you know, you're going to continue to get more of that, you know, especially on Thursday nights when teams can't really prepare. But, you know, they're probably playing to a younger generation that's going to be that big fan base coming up, because they're the only ones that's going to care, you know, when we're all gone. You know? So they're like, well, we got to keep the young fan base, you know, energized. And, you know, they don't really care about sloppy football or not. You know, I know what we used to seeing from back in the day, you know, not that it was great the first week, but you saw some crisp plays, and, you know, you didn't see guys, you know, dropping punts and
right.
all those kinds of things and, you know, misread routes and just you just didn't see the bad football, poor tackling like you see now.
All right. So, Troy, something that we've had to ask anybody who's ever played with this person, because every single human being who has come in contact professionally with this gentleman has a story. Larry Izzo, he was a fairly disgusting human being, if I'm not mistaken. Everyone's got a story about something he did in the locker room or something he did around the team that was truly extraordinarily gross.
Yeah.
What is your Larry Izzo story?
Nah, did I tell you last time I was on the show? It always, no matter what else Larry did, nothing will ever top the fact that he took a crap in his pants on the sideline, and then he crapped on the sideline, too.
So, yeah. He's told us the story before.
No. Who told us the one where he used the bathroom while eating eggs?
That was Merriweather. Merriweather.
So that's right. So you've told us one. Yeah. Merriweather's told us one. Ninkovich, I believe, has told us one. Matt Chatham has told us one.
Yeah, Chatham, for some reason, walked so it you, back. He didn't want to spoil the surprise for
everybody. Chatham's like two close friends.
Matt Light told us one.
That's okay, right. I think you were the origin. That's right. You were the first person to mention Larry Izzo, and look what you've done. You've set it off. Now everyone's. Hey. There needs to be a book.
It wasn't like it was a secret. He had a big brown spot in the back of his pants, you know, standing on the sideline, and they were just guys were giving him the business, man, and he didn't care.
Oh no, he was he proud of him. Imagine.
And then there's another one where he actually took a real crap. You know, uh-huh. had circled him up or whatever, and he took a crap on the sideline into something. I don't know what he was, but that's something I wanted to get a look at, you know. So, hey, what are you doing over there? Like,
everyone out of the way.
Is that chocolate in that bucket?
Like a Buffalo Bills fan before the game, you know.
All right, and we were talking a little bit about him off the air, but Charlie Weiss, we've heard stories of him at the buffet. Did you ever see
this? Is a Zolak story?
Yeah.
It's the best.
This is a Zolak story. Did you ever see any feats of gluttony?
There was plenty of bacon left, just not a lot of bread.
Okay. So it is again confirmed that Charlie Weiss would eat the bread that was under the bacon in the buffet.
Just sopped up a lot of grease in that bread.
It's not supposed to be consumed.
No.
It's like a plastic orange. Like you're not supposed to eat it.
And the bread was at a server purpose. It wasn't for something to go with the bacon or the sausage or whatever else was down in there, man. But it was pretty saturated with grease, man.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
That's why he doesn't like the training tables anymore. Too healthy.
All right. Troy Brown, looking forward to everything. It should be a good game on Sunday, and we look forward to.
Is that it? I was up already?
Yeah, so right. It was flying. Yeah. Your good sign.
I got here faster than I did. That was over faster than that took me to drive here.
Yeah. Just wait till you go home.
Yeah, going south will be easy.
I hope so.
Yeah. This is good. It's not going to
give
be.
Give us a call in about an hour
when you're right at the exit.
They just said, let's make our building the worst place possible to have one. The city's laid out terribly as it is. Let's pop one right in the middle of the garbage. All right. Troy Brown, thank you. As always, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing
you guys on Monday.
All right, Monday. I just found about this yesterday. There was a mysterious package that was delivered to our station.
If you watched the news yesterday, any news network, you saw our building.